Can we think that the bending of the bow is the purushartha of us?
Oh, not of us. It is Lord. Even He does everything.
So everything about kartutva bhav.
That's right. So, 11th chapter is thus, you might see now, a complete integration of integral knowledge, not only of knowledge, integral bhakti, and integral action. That is a speciality of chapter number 11. That's why it's so important. Now, the essence of all this is, the most integrating point is ananya bhakti. It is this ananya bhakti that is now expounded in the 12th chapter.
This expansion of that ananya chintayantu mam.
That's right. Upaste. That's right. This is the exposition of it. Your question? So, this 12th chapter, the very beginning of the chapter, is as it were a reminiscence from the original question with which Arjuna was perplexed at the earlier chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, where he was constantly asking question, is Sankhya better than Yoga, or is Yoga better than Sankhya? The original question, right from the beginning he was asking, repeatedly, that is because in the time in which the Gita was expounded, there was a strong dose of Sankhya in the atmosphere, and a strong idea that renunciation of action is better, is lesser than turning to the knowledge. So turn to the knowledge, and that was in the very first chapter he says, it is better to renounce, and I run away from here, and attain to the sannyas. So right from the beginning, that idea of sannyas, of knowledge, superiority of knowledge to everything else, has been running throughout. And now the bhakti is added, ananya bhakti is added now. So once again the whole question revolves upon this important point. What is better? To meditate upon the immutable or to be engaged in action and knowledge and bhakti all together of which you are now speaking? Which one of them is better? So that is how this 12th chapter begins. Arjuna uvacha, evam satata yukta ye bhakta tvam paryupasate ye cha api aksharam avyaktam tesham ke yoga vittamaha. Who are uttama? Yoga vittamaha, uttamaha, who are better? In the yoga. Who are better in the yoga? Those who are all the time united like bhaktas and who worship you. Are they better? Or aksharam avyaktam paryupasate, or those who worship, or those who try to attach themselves to the immutable, inexpressible, silent divine. Which of these two are better? Very often the translators say, is nirguna better or saguna better?
That's true.
This is how the distinction is made, but the distinction is much deeper. Is the immutable, the silent Brahman, that which is approached through the silence of the Brahman, and therefore those who approach the silence of the Brahman, and those who are bhaktas, who are constantly trying to unite themselves with the divine, Which of these two are better? It is similar to the earlier question you had asked. Yoga implies action, yoga implies devotion. Sankhya is for knowledge, knowledge of the silent, of the Brahman. He was asking the same question earlier. The emphasis was action and knowledge. Here the knowledge and devotion. But the devotion is not only a devotion, as Sri Krishna has explained. A real devotee, the real bhakta, not only goes on worshipping the divine, adoring the divine, admiring the divine, but he likes to be with the divine wherever he is. If the divine has chosen the field of Kurukshetra, then the real devotee should like to be there also. He is the devotee of the divine, integral divine. Wherever the divine is, there he wants to be. If the divine chooses to be in Kurukshetra, how can I give it up? I am the dasasya dasaha. I am the coolie of coolies. I am the laborer among the laborers, or the servant of servants. So wherever the Lord is, I must be present with Him. It is that bhaktas. Is that path better or this path? And the yogis who are accomplished in the knowledge, are they better? Or the yogis who are great bhaktas are better? This is the question with which the whole thing starts. Now Sri Krishna expounds the question itself and says, who are the bhaktas? To explain what is a bhakta, he expounds the question of Arjuna himself before answering. So he says, mai aveshya mano ye mam nitya yukta upasate shraddhaya parayopetaste me yukta tama mataha. He says without any kind of hesitation, very clearly, that bhaktas are better. Mayi aveshya manaha, those who are putting their mind in me, mayi aveshya manaha, ye mam nitya yukta upasate, and those who worship me all the time, nitya yukta, who are constantly united with me, shraddhaya parayopetaha, they are constantly perceiving me all everywhere, in all forms. Shraddhaya, a faith which is not a belief, as I told you earlier, in the Gita the word shraddha is not a belief, not a trust. It's a dynamic perception which becomes greater and greater by a great force of tapasya so as to become a realized fact. Shraddha is not a belief. It is a perception, already a perception. Shraddha is a perception which is the capacity of giving you a push to realize fully what is perceived partially in the beginning. Shraddha is already a perception. Is more than a belief. In most of the religions, belief is regarded to be the end. You believe in God, you are a religious man. And the highest is realized, the moment you believe. But Sri Krishna speaks of Shraddha, which is not a belief, which is already a perception.
When the mind and will have ascended.
That's right. There is a consent, there is a perception which the mind holds and to which the will has consented. And it gives you further push, it doesn't remain there. It is not satisfied with that, because it is a kind of a, once you enter into it, you cannot but push forward. So it's a dynamic perception which automatically impels you towards the realization.